I too bring greetings in the name of Christ. It's good to be gathered in again this morning. Welcome, each one of you, visitors especially, to join right in and worship with us. Trust that God will be honored through this message and our time here this morning. Did enjoy the service thus far. I think our Sunday school lesson fits well with what I plan to share on this morning. And the verse, the memory verse there from Colossians 3 stood out to me. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And that's a little bit, I'd say it's a pretty good introduction to what I'd like to share this morning. To start, I would ask a simple question. Three words. Are you rich? These words I'll take for my title here this morning as well. Are you rich? Am I rich? It'd be interesting to hear what you would have to share as an answer to that. I'm not going to ask you to do that here. But I'd like us to think about that for a bit. Are you rich? Maybe first of all, what is rich? What defines being rich? So I turned to the dictionary for a little, and the dictionary definition of riches simply is things that make one rich. Very, very basic. The definition of rich is they gave as having great wealth. Again, fairly simple. But what's wealth? The dictionary also says wealth is a large amount of money or possessions. A large amount of money or possessions. Is that what being rich is? Is that what being rich really is? Having a lot of money and things. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 13. There's one verse especially here that I'd like to look at. My thoughts were drawn here to this lately. At our place, we have some audio books of a little Amish boy, Benji. You've probably heard of that, or have the books maybe. And we also at our place have some young boys that like to listen to that story, and so it gets played quite often. And what caught my attention is the one time in the story, the time Benji went fishing with his dad, an older brother, and he didn't seem to be catching any fish at first. And meanwhile, as he was sitting there, he got to thinking about this fishing pole was just pretty old, and he had a friend that just got a new one. So he got a little envious. He wished he had a new fishing pole too, and maybe it would help him catch more fish. So he suggested it to his dad. He asked his dad about it. You know, Dad, maybe we could get me a new fishing pole sometime, don't you think? His dad thought about it, and he replied, well, it is true, your fishing pole is quite old, for sure. And maybe sometime we'll have to get you a new one. But right now, we don't have a lot of money. And the next question the little Amish boy had was, Dad, are we poor? Are we poor? And the dad's answer to that question was what really impressed me. I think it was a very good answer. And he said, no, we certainly aren't poor. We just don't have much money. We have so much and so many blessings. Money doesn't make one rich in the things that count. And I was just blessed by that reply, by that reminder for me. You know, money doesn't make one rich in the things that count. It's so true, but so quickly we forget, so quickly I forget. You know, we have to work with money. We have to work for money. We have to pay the bills, put food on the table with it, and we make decisions with our money every day. But I think it's important to remember, as Christians, you know, money doesn't make one rich in the things that count. Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. If you back up to chapter 11, there's a similar verse. I would consider them somewhat parallel. Verse 24 of chapter 11, we won't spend more time on that. It says this: there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. There is that maketh himself rich. Now that part, that sounds just pretty normal to us, doesn't it? We're familiar with that. It sounds appealing to the natural, to the earthly side of us, don't it? Making oneself rich. You know, we have a drive for making money, for getting things and money for me. You know, it's just natural for us. Nobody wants to be poor. Everyone wants to get ahead financially. And those that do get ahead are looked up to as someone special. You know, people like the Amazon founder, Jeff Bezos, Microsoft founder, Bill Gates, Facebook founder, Mark Zuckerberg, people like that, people look up to. They spend a lot of time trying to figure out how these fellows get there, how these fellows get rich so quick. And you know, it seems like there's always a few of those get-rich-quick schemes going around. And I'm not going to say that maybe sometimes they don't work, but people have a desire to get rich. It just fits the selfish nature of us all pretty good. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. I see here the possibility of being wealthy and having a lot of money and things, a lot of money and assets, but at the same time being dirt poor in the things that really matter. And for an example of this, you can turn to Luke 12. We won't spend a lot of time here. Luke 12, I'll read verses 16 to 21 here. Jesus talking, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Very familiar story to us. We have this rich man, and he had it made in material things. At least he thought he did. He said, I'm going to retire. I'm going to take it easy and have a good life. What did God say? God said, you're foolish. You're foolish. And verse 21 is the key verse here, I believe. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You can turn now to Revelation 3 for another example of being rich but actually poor. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 17. There's a letter to the church of Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The little information I managed to gather on the city of Laodicea. What is that? It was a wealthy city. It was right along a major trade route, and it was a center in textile production, it seems, and also banking in the Roman Empire. So this was a wealthy city, and apparently there was Christians there at Laodicea that were very wealthy as well. We tell from these verses. But they had let go of their first love for God. God says here, "You think you're rich, but you're poor." They were poor toward God. I'd like to look now at the other side. The last part of verse 7 in Proverbs 13. "There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Maybe I could rephrase that like this. "There is that seems to be poor, yet hath great riches." I see here the possibility of having very little earthly things and money, but yet being very rich in the things that matter. And the first Bible example I thought of, I don't think we'll turn to it, but it was the story of Abraham and Lot. And I'm not sure why the story comes to my mind, because the Bible tells us Abraham was a rich man. He was not poor in earthly things. But I think it still fits, could we say Abraham, or maybe he was referred to as Abram there still, he put his own financial state at risk, could you say, by giving Lot the first choice. Remember the story how there wasn't room for all their herds where they were at, and Abram said, "We're going to have to separate so there's enough space for everyone." And he gave Lot the first choice, and Lot looked around and saw the good land and chose that for himself. You know, Abram probably knew Lot well enough by that time, don't you think, that he probably had a good idea of how Lot was going to choose, don't you think? And being an uncle to Lot, I'm sure he could have just made the choice himself, said, "This is where I'll be, and you can find a place for yourself." But rather, he put the well-being of another ahead of his own. And I think he's a good example for us in this thought, that there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Another example, turn back to Revelation chapter 2 for this one. There's another letter here to the church of Smyrna. I'll read verses 8 to 10. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." I don't know what the financial state was of these people, but he says in here in verse 9, there was poverty. They were poor folks. Then he says, there in parenthesis, you're actually rich. They're actually rich. What a blessing. What high praise coming from Jesus Christ himself. Now, aren't those words that we all, as Christians, that we would all want to hear? That God, that God would call us rich towards him. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You know, they had an eternal reward waiting for them. They had eternal riches. They were laying up riches in heaven. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. So this morning, I'd like to talk some about riches, the riches that really matter. Now, I'm not so concerned this morning about the state of your earthly finances. Whether your bank account has six-digit dollar figures or whether it's just plumb empty. You know, there's riches that we can have that have nothing to do with earthly money. Riches that no money can buy, actually. Having said that, if you're here this morning in a financial strait, I don't want to sound uncaring. We do care, and we want to do our best as a brotherhood to help one another. And on the flip side of that, if you're here and God has just blessed you beyond measure financially, I don't either want to minimize the challenges, temptations that go along with that you could face with that. But we want to focus this morning on the real riches, the spiritual riches, being rich toward God. And there are treasures that can be in heaven for us, where nothing can corrupt. None of us want to be a fool like the rich man Jesus talked about. So how can you and I, how can we find true riches, be rich in the things that really matter? And I have one main point for this. True riches are only found through Jesus Christ. If there's any one thing that you should take home from this sermon this morning, it's this point. Only by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ can you find real riches in your life. It's just that simple. Forget about your things and your money. These things are going to all be left behind someday. But Jesus Christ is the beginning of true riches. True riches that will last forever. In Acts 16, verse 30, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And their reply was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And it's this same simple message that Paul and Silas preached back there long ago. It's the same today. It's the same simple, unchanging, yet profound message that we still preach here this morning. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is the key to true riches this morning. This is God's get-rich-quick plan. Can I call it that? It's the best investment that you'll ever make for your life. 2 Corinthians 8:9, here's a verse I think that fits in relation to being rich through Christ. "For ye know through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." I just thought that was a good verse that fits in here. I'd like to look now at some things that God is rich in. The Bible says God is rich in things that become ours through Jesus Christ, riches that benefit us through accepting Jesus Christ. And I already mentioned the gift of Jesus, because these other riches that I'm going to talk about, that I'm going to list, they're all meaningless outside of Jesus Christ. They all come after you accept Jesus as your Savior. And after that, I'd like to look a little bit how these riches from God affect us as followers of Jesus Christ. Or we could say the qualities of one who is, qualities that would be seen from one who is rich toward God. So what are some riches of God that we see in the Bible? I have a few here and some references. Hopefully I didn't miss anything too important. The first one I have is in Ephesians 2. You can turn to this one. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I see here three things God is rich in: mercy, love, and grace. And maybe I should have listed each one of them separately, but I have a hard time separating the three of these. And there's also a verse I have, you don't need to turn to it, a verse I have written down here from Romans 10, verse 12, the last part, and 13. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, it's another verse where we see the rich mercy of God. God gives equal opportunity to all men. He's not willing that any should perish. It says in another verse, God is rich in mercy. He's rich in love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's rich in mercy, love, and grace. Like I said before, I don't think we can separate any of these. Another verse that brings out the rich grace of God is Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Another reference of something that God is rich in, you can turn to this one if you care to, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. We're kind of breaking into a thought here, but I'll do that. Where despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Yeah, we're kind of broke up a sentence there, but here I see the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering mentioned. And maybe it's hard to separate these as well from the ones we just mentioned. But God is patient and forbearing with mankind. He wants all to receive salvation. Riches of God's goodness and forbearance. We could spend much more time on any one of these points. It's another verse I have written down here from Romans 11, verse 33. It says here, let's see, I did not write that down actually. Maybe we should turn to that one as well. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Here it says God has riches of wisdom and knowledge. He's rich in wisdom. And the part that impresses me is that he's just ready to impart some of that wisdom to you and I when we ask for it in faith. He tells us that in James 1, verse 5, I believe it is, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." God is rich in wisdom. Another one I have, you don't need to turn to it, Colossians 3:16. It says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." I would take from that verse that God has richly blessed us with his word. He's given us his word. It's the guide for our life. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119, 105. God has richly given us his word. God has also richly given us his spirit. And I have a verse written down from Galatians chapter 4. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." God has given us his spirit. And being fairly brief with some of these, they could definitely be expounded a lot more, any of these. The last one I have listed is eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the life. He was always alive. And God richly gives us that eternal life. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly," taken from John 10. Also a verse from 1 John 5, verse 11. "And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." God richly gives us eternal life. Now, for the last part here, what are some ways these riches of God, these spiritual riches, affect us? What are some qualities, maybe, of one who is rich towards God? And I don't know that I'm going to cover this very well either, but we'll list a few that I picked out that stood out to me. First of all, these qualities, these attributes of God that we just looked at, shouldn't we, as children of God, want to make these qualities our own? I think we should. How about the mercy, love, and grace, and long-suffering attributes of God that we just mentioned? I think that as followers of Christ, these need to be attributes that we have as well. And I would just challenge us, do we allow the mercy and love that we've been shown? Are we ready to show that same mercy and love to our fellow Christian and to those everywhere that we meet? I would just challenge us in that. You know, God was patient with us. God is patient with us still. Are we in turn patient with others when it becomes just pretty easy to be otherwise? Let's turn back to Proverbs 13. We're looking at qualities of one who is rich toward God. Verse 1, the first verse there. "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." I see here a quality of someone who is rich toward God. As a child of God, as children of God, if we would be rich toward God, we need to hear our Father's instructions. And right here we have them, don't we? We have the Word of God here this morning. Verse 3, I see another one. "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. What's another quality of one who is rich toward God? One who is rich toward God will have his mouth controlled by God. Christian friends, this morning, the words you speak and your actions as well, they're really like a window into your heart, aren't they? Into your heart and mind. What do people see when they look through that window? Do they hear angry and bitter words that reveal anger and bitterness in your heart? Or do they hear words that show that you have the real riches in your heart? There's many other qualities that of a person who's rich towards God that we really should mention, but I just have one more written down here, and that is in verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. What's another quality of one who is rich towards God? One who is rich toward God will deal with pride in their heart. This morning, I don't believe there's anything like a proud, selfish Christian. Just remember, Jesus left all the glories of heaven to come down to earth and suffer for you and I. Now that took the greatest humility, didn't it? Another verse for us in relation to humility, Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. One who is rich toward God will deal with pride in their life. So this morning, are you rich? Are you rich? I hope I outlined at least a little bit for you what true riches are this morning. And I'd like to close with that memory verse from our Sunday school lesson. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. May God bless you this morning, and may God bless his word. Let us pray.